Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And we do have an in-studio audience for this podcast.
That's correct.
Yeah, my husband is across the room trying to make our internet
better,
be amazing. And I'm just sure he's thrilled that we're here.
And he has to listen to this.
Yeah, and he has to listen to
it. It's the first podcast he's ever listened to.
I will say that, no, because remember I was going to have him do show notes or something one time, you know.
Yeah, and but he probably about died when he had to do that.
We haven't been together in a while, so I don't feel too bad that he's got to listen to us. We haven't all been around each other.
I see.
So I don't feel too bad. And today we're going to talk about how to embroider a terry cloth towel. This is a wonderful embroidery project to start off with. It's a great gift. It's got really good, techniques that you're going to learn.
Yeah, you learn a lot of technique.
And it's a bit of a follow-up to our stabilizer series. We're going to use, how many stabilizers? You're going to use two stabilizers in this project.
But we'll probably talk about more than two.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about marking and centering and all that jazz. Okay, so, we have a video on this already.
It's one of our biggest hitters,
one of the greatest hits. ZD Sewing Studio greatest hits. Mallory is like 19 in the video, I believe.
You know, what was it the other day? Somebody said about, their dog had a wound. And actually, the wound was very much in the same placement as, the dog corset I had made for the wound on the dog that we had. And I went back and it was like,
it's like
9 years ago. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Time flies and you're having fun on the internet.
It does. Actually, the towel video, I have to say, didn't we hear that someone was, this is when we owned the shop, someone was down in Texas at another sewing store in
Texas.
Somebody
told them, go watch this video.
Yeah, they said, I don't know how to embroider a towel.
And we had only been on the interweb maybe for a couple of years doing
So someone else, not the person who knew us, but someone else in the store said, get on YouTube and let Mallory show you how to do that. Okay.
Right. So, and our customer happened to be there.
Yes.
And told
us
about
it. She heard that.
And said, I know them.
Yes. Yes. This is so famous.
In person.
Okay. So this is a project where we actually don't recommend that you hoop the thing you're embroidering on, the towel. So what's terry cloth? Maybe we should tell people.
Well, it has,
loops.
Loops. It's loopy, it has a pile to it, right? And, there's several reasons not to hoop something.
Mm-hmm.
One would be a hoop burn, which means that it leaves a mark.
Yeah.
And that happens very easily on something like a velvet.
Yeah.
Right? Or a corduroy. And those things have a nap or a pile to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it can do it on towel also.
Yeah.
Or something that's too bulky.
That's right.
Okay.
So if you do hoop a towel, I've done it before.
Right.
On cotton terry cloth, you're going to unhoop it and you will have a bit of an imprint. And you can generally kind of scratch it out, fluff it up. So that's not our big issue here. But the bulk is an issue.
The bulk is probably your biggest issue. The other thing is the position or the shape of what you're going on.
Uh-huh.
Should you hoop this or just lay it down? On a towel, a lot of times you're on the end.
Yeah.
Right? And the placement of what you want to put on, you may not be able to actually center it or get it in the right position on it because you're at the end of the towel.
Yeah, you might not even end up hooping the whole thing anyway, right?
Right. Well, and then that's an issue. If you don't hoop the whole thing and you try to hoop half the towel, the problem there is then you don't have a good seal all the way around and you could have shifting.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, lots of reasons
to not hoop
a towel. The other thing is it's easier.
Well, I was going to say that. It's also
Something with bulk is hard to hoop.
Also, a terry cloth towel Terry cloth is sort of a little, sometimes it feels a little flexible.
Right.
But it's not like some kind of slinky knit. And it's one of the best things to actually practice not hooping, I think.
Yeah,
it's so fairly stable, easy to manage.
Right.
With the products that we use to do it, I think it's very manageable.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get into it.
The technique that's on our video and the technique we're talking about, this might not be the only technique or the only stabilizers you might use. And I go back to, I was doing was somebody asked me how to hoop. And mm-hmm. we used to teach people how to hoop on like a tea towel. When I say a tea towel, it was just a cotton piece of fabric.
Yeah.
Right? That was one of our projects in like, you know, one of our, what we call guide classes that we would embroider on. But someone asked me to explain it, and I explained it, and I was in front of a more long-time customer that we had, and she says, "That's not what you told me." And I said, "Oh, so tell me what I told you." And
right.
she described what I told her, and she described it very well, and I said, "I believe that's exactly what I told you then. There are new products out.
Right.
And things change. And there's more than one way." And she said, "Well, should I be doing it the new way?" And I said, "If you're happy with the way you're doing it, I'd stick with it." So, you know, well, I guess what I'm saying is this doesn't have to be exactly what you do, but we're going to give you the reasons that we do it this way.
Okay, let's get into it. All right. So first thing we would have you do is cut a piece of tearaway stabilizer that is larger than the hoop you plan to use.
That's right.
Okay, so we're not going to get into, like, what size design you should use. Obviously, it needs to be the right size for your hoop, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, let's pretend we're just doing a letter or a name or something mm-hmm. like that. So if you followed our advice, you know, and you were buying new stabilizer last time, you might only have fusible tearaway on hand.
That's right.
Remember?
Which is tearaway with a little bit of glue.
Yes. But we're not going to mm-hmm. use that part of it this time. So just
right.
hoop up that tearaway, and it should be a medium weight tearaway, probably. We talked about the Sulky Totally Stable, mm-hmm. which is a real thin tearaway.
Right.
And I like something a bit heftier than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I like it to have a little beef to it on the
towel. For the terry cloth
yeah,
towel. Or you
I
could
do.
Use two layers, I guess, of the Totally
Always.
Stable.
If you think your stabilizer is not hefty enough, then do two layers.
Yeah, you could do two layers. Okay, so you hoop that up, and then the really cool thing about the tearaway stabilizer and even two layers of the Totally Stable is you can see through it.
Yes.
A lot of the time. Now, you don't have to, but the next thing you're going to do is you're going to take a ballpoint pen or a pencil. You don't want it to transfer to your fabric, and I've never had the problem with, like, a ballpoint pen. You know, doing this, I don't do it with like a gel pen that takes a while to dry or anything like that. But I mark like the center, the X and Y axis of my hoop. And so why mm-hmm. I said see-through is we have a gridded cutting mat.
Right.
So I'll just pop that hoop
That's right.
with the tearaway stabilizer right there, line up my grid and do my X, Y axis. If you don't have that, your hoop has, it should, I've rarely seen them without them.
If you haven't lost it.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't talking about the template. I was just talking about on the hoop. They have center markings.
On the hoop, they have little hashtags.
Little dashes.
It's a little, sometimes they're a dash. Sometimes they're a little arrow, but it's usually like raised.
Well, and let me back up a second, too, because I'm using those dash hash marks
right.
when I'm lining it up on my grid because sometimes those aren't exactly centered on the actual plastic hoop because some hoops are designed where they have a little extra room. Now, they're centered in the stitching area.
Right.
Okay? But some machines, like the embroidery feet, stick out more to the left. So there's hoop clearance there, but
right.
it's not stitchable area.
Okay?
So don't measure it yourself.
Right. So sometimes, like, where your tube... your hoop attaches.
Yes.
So your stitching area may not be absolutely in the center of your hoop.
Right.
Right.
So use those hash marks to mark those lines
right.
with your ballpoint pen, I guess is what I'm saying. Don't like measure it and then be like, my hoop has been mismarked because that's not what has happened. Okay. But this is so handy because I think that embroidery placement is one of the hardest things, you know, getting whatever it is centered.
It's also,
you know,
one of the things that, especially after you do embroidery for a while, that you will notice is really screwy.
If you're
like, oh my gosh, that's on there crooked.
You'll start to notice another thing.
Oh, that's too high on the towel, right, Mallory?
Oh, whatever, you mm-hmm. know. We won't talk about that in this episode. That's a whole other,
we're not
like,
talking about placement?
Well, no, I said that. I just said that. I said, okay, we're not talking about placement, didn't I?
Okay.
Mom wants to bring up my donut towel. She'll have to wait for another episode.
I think placement is extremely important. Go ahead.
Well, but we're talking about like the, I don't know, we'll see. We're like 10 minutes in. We got time. Okay, so you mark these centers, and it's going to help you align everything, okay? And then here's where you're talking about products and, like, different products and everything. I just like to use plain tearaway, mm-hmm. and then I use a sticky spray.
Yes.
What could you have used instead?
So if I have the tearaway that's got the glue on it, mm-hmm. that is water.
There's that.
Activated.
Yeah.
I like that. And I will only activate, like, the corners.
Yeah. What's the other one? The one where it's got the coating and it's pressure sensitive.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, no. So we're not using that. No. But we could be.
You mean the one like that you peel back?
Yeah, the one you peel back.
What is that called?
Well, it's called, like, stick tear or
stick
pressure
tear or something like
pressure
that.
Pressure sensitive.
So it's like the, think of a contact paper and how you peel back the wax paper right. and the sticky is there.
Okay.
So it's like that.
I don't personally really like the wet and stick or the peel and stick for a terry cloth because it has pulled loops on me.
That's why I only do the corners.
Right.
Right.
But the corners
don't
are still the terry
thing.
Cloth.
Well,
I mean, you know.
The stick and tear or whatever you call it, that really will hold on to those loops. So then
when you
go to pull it off, you know, you're pulling your loops.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like either of those, but I know some people really hate spray. Okay. So.
Right. And spray is probably the best.
Yeah, I would say spray. So we like the Madeira MSA 1000 and the Sulky KK 2000 are the two sprays
we like. It
is
supposed to be temporary.
Yeah, it's not quilt basting spray.
No. So if you put it on, it will work for like an hour or two, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But, you know, if you do it, it's not going to be on there the next day.
Yeah, don't spray until
like
you're ready.
Like the moisture in the air will actually release it, I think is what happens.
Yeah, and then a couple of tips for spraying your hoop. Okay, so we've just got tearaway stabilizer with an XY axis on it, hooped up. And now we want to spray it. I want to spray it. Personally. So someone shared a really cool tip with us. They took those plastic like drawer liners. Do you remember this? And they cut out the area of their hoop and they put that on top of the hoop.
Yeah.
You put that in your glue spray box and you spray the stabilizer. And now no spray has gotten on your hoop and the plastic drawer liner can go in the dishwasher.
Right.
And you can
do it with, you know, a piece of paper. You can do it
you
with
can
cardboard.
You can do it with anything.
But, of course, the spray will go in there. It starts to get dirty. But, you know, even a piece of paper will work.
Yeah. So you can use anything. But it's
so.
Or you could just use nothing and clean your hoop off.
The other thing that works is, you know, the cutting boards that are now silicone.
Yeah.
They go in the dishwasher. They're perfect.
Right.
Yes.
So it's a protection. Now, I also used to just spray and then clean off my hoop with an alcohol pad. Aqua Velva. Yeah, after a few uses. But, you know, you can do whatever. So we had those at the shop. So I spray my hoop. And then I have sticky marked stabilizer in my hoop. And okay, maybe we're going to talk about placement here. So I'll fold my towel in half hot dog wise.
Yes.
Okay, long ways.
Okay.
And I will go to the end of the towel where I want to put my name. And maybe there's a band there. Maybe mm-hmm. there's not. Maybe it's just the hem of the towel.
And this was like kind of what I was really thinking about is the fact that there's that woven band in most terry mm-hmm. cloth towels. And I have seen people put the embroidery below the band and don't. That does not look right.
I mean, you know, if you photograph it right and you put it in some like bougie, I'm just thinking like I follow this blog, so no offense to anybody, but like I'm just thinking like Food 52 would like put towels that had embroidery below the band and they'd be like, this is the new way to do it or something.
So, Traditionally, you would embroider above the band, maybe like an inch or a half inch. You know, that would be...
It's pretty close to the band.
It's closer. It's, you know.
It's pretty close.
It is. It's pretty close to the band. This is one reason you want to try and get it even or because you don't want it to look cockeyed. Because that band is like this reference horizon that you have on
there. So whether, let's say you have no band and you are like going toward the hem, right, or you have the band, that's your perpendicular, you know, thing that you're going to align to the y-axis of that you've drawn on your hoop. And your x-axis is parallel to the hot dog fold.
Right.
And you're going to lay your hot dog fold on that x-axis. Okay, and then unfold it. And the bulk of your towel is over to your left, okay?
Which just screws you up with the X and the Y. That's what I'm
thinking.
No,
it doesn't. I'm looking at it. If I've got my hoop and where it attaches to my machine is over to my left, the Y axis... I see what you're... Oh, are you saying it like the text is oriented the other way?
Is the X and Y on the towel or is the X and Y in the hoop?
It's on the hoop for me right now.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
X and Y on the hoop. You watch the video, okay?
Watch the video. It's much better than Mallory's talking. Yeah.
Whatever. I'd like to see you try to explain that. Okay. So you get to unfold this,
Go ahead.
And you can put your band... far down, you know, far, you know, to your right. You don't want to embroider on your band. I kind of let it sit along the edge of the stabilizer, right?
I kind of use it to make me square and straight in the hoop. Yeah, if I sort of line that up along the side of my hoop, I know that I'm right. And I know my design will fit above it in the hoop.
That's right, because if you put the band in the middle, you don't have a lot of room.
That's
right.
So you got to put it down. Yourself out of room.
Right. And
the fact that you put the bulk of the towel
to
the left of your machine means that you can monitor that bulkiness and hopefully it's not getting caught on anything or shoved up in anything or whatever, because that's where the embroidery mistakes happen.
I went into a sewing store. I was going to say what dealership it was, but I won't say.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut.
I went to a sewing store when I was on my honeymoon, and they had a towel going on one of their machines, and the bulk was in the throat. No, it was in the throat of the machine, and I was like, no one was watching it. And I was like, it's just like hanging out there.
Well, it just makes everything more difficult. There's just no reason for it to be there.
Well, and I was like, this could turn bad, but, you know, anyway.
But there's no reason for it to be there.
Yeah, it's better for it to be out of the
way. Hanging it off the back is okay if you have a lot of room there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but still, you've got more bulk in the throat of the machine than you have to have.
Yeah, it's best to have that all to the left. And you do have to, you know, you can like roll it up and clip it. I picture one of those like hair clips, or you can just, you know, have it supported. You need to monitor it. I really would monitor it. I don't leave my embroidery alone. You know, I don't like go into a different room, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I used to cook dinner and embroider at the same time, and those are in two different levels of the house, so I'm not going to say anything.
And you never messed anything up, I'm
never,
sure.
Never.
Oh, okay. Great. Well,
not
let's
the food, not the towel.
Nothing ever got messed up. Okay.
No. So, never.
Let's take a...
I never came up and the machine was just going with the foot like hanging off the side or anything. Nothing.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break and come back and let's get to stitching this towel. ZD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm,
right,
or your underbust,
right,
or your
or
thigh,
your head.
Or your head, oh yeah, the head, right. Definitely.
Well, and you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it will
right.
be accurate.
Right.
Right.
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers, or it was a male trainer and a female client. He
right.
didn't have to put his hands on the person
right.
or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure
from the zero end.
Yes. Right. Right. And I said 60, but you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So
yeah.
you've got...
you have imperial, and you have metric.
Metric, right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself, and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one. Because if somebody sees it, a husband or
right?
a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this, like, in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to, like, send away to college with people, things like that. Where
fabulous.
You want
yeah.
something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Okay, and we're back. So let's get this towel in the machine, I think.
Okay.
It's stuck down. It's perfectly aligned on whatever axes on the Z-axis, you know.
Yeah,
the
X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D.
Everything's wonderful. And you're going to carefully put it on your machine. Some machines, like on the baby lock, we have to slide the hoop in.
Right.
On other machines, it sort of clips in.
Well.
You know.
But baby lock, depending on the model.
Yeah.
They some slide,
some clip.
Clip. So
yes,
right.
yes. No, sorry, I didn't mean to say that
right.
yet. Some baby locks it clips in. And that is so the slidey ones have a little lever and it's very straightforward and the machine will like ding
right.
at you if it isn't in there right.
I really like the slidey
it's
ones.
It's very
better,
nice.
Yeah.
On some of the lower end models and some of the entry level models, you do have a clip and you need to make sure you've got it all clipped and you do have some towel hanging over. So it can be So just be aware, it can be a little challenging.
And you want to make sure you don't have any towel under the hoop.
That's right.
Again, this is all about having that bulk to one side
yeah.
and being able to control and monitor it.
Yeah, know where everything is. Okay, now that you've got it in your machine, though, if we're talking about placement here, we've done some very like general things in putting it in the hoop, okay? And what you can do now on any level of embroidery machine is you should be able to trace the rectangle, the perimeter of your design.
It's a square or a rectangle. You don't know.
Square is a rectangle.
Well, that's true.
Okay. You can trace. But what I want to say is,
I just don't want them to be looking for a rectangle and it's a square.
Okay.
In fact, it looks like usually
yeah,
the icon looks like a square.
Sometimes it looks like a square. That's like dashed.
And then a little arrow.
Arrow. And
sometimes it's just a dash square. You know, they're very similar.
On the most basic, okay, so you get to, I'm going to go from most basic to most advanced in this perimeter check thing. So on the most basic machine, you hit your perimeter check button, whatever it looks like.
Right.
And this is going to be on the screen of your embroidery machine. And it will trace that square and then stop. And you better have been paying attention.
That's right.
To where the square was traced, and then you're most likely.
But you can hit it again.
You can, yes.
You can hit it as many times as you want.
Well, and you're going to, because
right.
you're going to move your design probably toward
right.
your band or your hem.
Right.
Possibly. Depends on how right. big it is, how big your hoop is. you know.
And the other thing is the needle may stop at the beginning of the design or it may stop at the middle of the design. So you need to know that.
Or it can stop at the corner of the square.
Or at the corner of the square.
So there's three different things it can do. Yeah, you're totally right. So,
but that's particular to your machine.
Yeah, you need to look.
You need to know that. You need to have had a lesson on it. Right.
And you can change it sometimes.
Sometimes you can choose. Yes. And sometimes on the more advanced machines, you can just touch your screen.
I want to get there. Yeah. So you're going to trace that rectangle or that square, and you're going to bump it over, probably to your right. I'm not, you know, not saying definitely. Maybe you do have to move it to the left, but you're going to move it to your right, and you're going to retrace again, right?
Is that my right or
it's
your
my
right?
It's my right.
Or your left?
It's when you're, don't confuse people. She's confusing people
I'm
when I'm being
about
perfectly
your dad.
Clear.
Okay, I'm just thinking
I'm
about,
not him.
I'm just
Get
thinking
over
about
that.
Him one time, and I said something. I said, would you look in my right eye or something? And he said, my right or yours? And I was like, no, my right eye stays in the same place.
This podcast is between me and you. You and Jerry can start your own podcast about spatial things, because I think you might need to. Anyway, you're probably moving it down toward your band or your hem. You're going to retrace. And you're like, okay, great. So this is wonderful. Perimeter Trek is great. But I want you to picture, if you will, my name. Right? My name is Mallory. And it has a Y at the end.
Oh, no.
Okay?
Yes. So, and a Y hangs down.
Y hangs down. All right. So just keep in mind as you're visualizing your design, it's like if you've got the rectangle going down, the perimeter check, you know, is going to go to the end of that Y, all right? So just think about that with your designs. If you want something that's completely flush with the band, you're going to need to put flowers under Mallory.
Or make it a block, capital letters.
That's
you know.
Right. Exactly. So just think about that. So that's with the most basic machine embroidery perimeter check function. And then Mom was talking about how you can get more advanced. The next advanced step is that you get to pick, I want to see the lower right-hand corner, the upper right-hand corner. I want to see the right center. Mm-hmm. I want to see the center. I want to see that there's like nine points, right?
Right. All four corners, all four middles, and a middle.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I love this. Okay. This, I could stop here. Okay, this would be where I would want to have, this is where I want this feature to be for me. And I think like in Baby Lock Land, gosh, I don't know what they're called anymore. They may have updated the names, but like on the Aventura, and it used to be called the Allure Plus, and I'm certain it's not called that anymore.
No, that's really old.
That's got to be the wrong name, but like that.
There are people listening to this that weren't born then.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a machine that has it. And so with this, you get that, you want to pick one of those points that's over on that right-hand side, and then you can, the needle will go there, and you can just move it over.
Right.
And you don't have to keep retracing.
Right.
That's what I love about that. And you could make sure that, like, your center of your towel is actually centered and all that jazz, okay? Now, then there's the machines with the camera on them where it scans the towel. It shows you on the screen.
It projects Mallory onto the towel.
Yes, and you can be like, oh, I want to add some flowers under Mallory or, like, a paddle boat or something.
And then when someone tells you, oh, that's so easy, you don't even need any skill to do that. Yes, you do. You have to understand the machine.
Oh, you know, you just said project. So there is that now. So there's what I was saying is it puts the image you took as like background on the screen.
Right, you can get the image of your towel on your screen
and
with
then,
the design.
But now there is a finally.
But now it will project
a projector.
It right onto. Mm-hmm. So you have basically the shadow of Mallory.
Yeah.
Projected down on your towel.
That's
like,
right.
You know exactly where it's going to be.
Nutso.
It was not like this when I started using embroidery machines at all.
Yeah, so if you're a sewing machine salesperson, this whole perimeter check thing, this was a big decision maker for people.
Yeah.
That square gets traced and it stops and you're like, crap, where was it? You know, you have to move it. You have to try again. And I just loved being able to go to one point, move my design down pretty close to the band and go. So there you go. That's how you're going to move it. And then another important stabilizer is going to come into play here, right? So you're going to put some kind of topping on here, or you're going to be sorry, one or the other.
What you're going to get is ugly.
Yeah.
And this is not an opinion. This is a fact. You will not get your design. It will be hidden because the little forest
swallowed.
Of all the loops
swallowed.
Will come up, you know, between your threads. Uh-huh. The threads are meant to lay the fibers down. Well, these are just too wild and crazy for it to lay down. So you need something to lay those fibers down so that the threads can slide over them and lay them down, you know.
Yes.
And they aren't going to be popping up. Believe me, you will get ugly. People used to bring in ugly, mm-hmm. and we had to act like it was okay. And, you know, but no.
No, you want to use
it's not worth it, guys.
Don't
do
it.
To save, you know, 10 cents and not put that over there. I don't know why people would think they could skip it.
No, people like to skip it, though.
I don't know. I don't get it. It doesn't even make sense to me.
So on a cotton, you could use the wet of the wash away topping that we talked about, or you could use the heat away. Mm-hmm. All right. And we are talking about terry cloth towel, I know. Mm-hmm. But a few of these things can apply to polyester fleeces.
You know, the washaways we were talking about, the water solubles, are the ones that appear to look like plastic wrap. Mm-hmm. You know, they just look like a clear sheet of, you know, plastic.
Right.
I don't know how else to describe it.
And
like the wrap, like
cling film. Saran wrap is what
saran
we call
wrap,
it over
right.
here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to put that on, and then here's another thing that can sometimes be included with a machine, or you can, like, buy these. They're basting stitches.
Right.
Okay, and this can be really cool and useful, and I do like them. So on your sewing machine, on your embroidery machine, some machines will have the option to where you can baste around the design. Or you can baste the whole hoop.
Or sometimes, right, you just baste the whole hoop.
Yeah.
And either one is good.
Now, if you just do it around the design, you could potentially save more topping.
Exactly.
If your design is small.
Right.
Okay, so there's that. If you baste it around the whole hoop, your entire project is a little bit more secure.
Well, and
nice.
The thing that's nice about that is it's now secured to the back.
Right,
you know,
it's secured to the stabilizer.
Right.
It's, so it's not just about keeping this down. It's about keeping everything in place. If you don't have the basting stitch option, something I still kind of like to do is to cellophane tape down the topping, right?
And, cellophane tape, you know, we use low-tech tape and, you know, all the different funny tapes we use in our studio. And cellophane tape is, like, the best thing for embroidery because you can stitch through it and pull the part that's, you know, it's to the public off, and the little cellophane part
just goes
stays
away.
Under,
you know, everything's fine.
It's
fine.
Where if you use, you know, another tape, there's a possibility that it will be visible.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
More difficult to remove.
Yeah, I wouldn't, in case you stitch through painter's tape.
When I did.
Kind of screwed.
When I did commercial embroidery, we used cellophane tape a lot.
Yeah.
To, like, as a guideline. And again, we didn't have all these features at that time. This is back in the dark ages of embroidery. And we used cellophane tape a lot, like on, you know, just t-shirts when we were putting logos on so that we would keep things straight.
Right.
You know, we just go around and, like, you know, put, because then we didn't have to worry about if a mark wouldn't come off or, you know, would reappear again or what. We just take, you know, the tape off and it'd be over with.
Yeah. No, that's for real, especially when you're doing stuff for other people. I mean, you don't want it for yourself either, but when you're doing things for other people, you don't want marks not coming off or coming back or anything. So absolutely, marking your X and Y and Z axes with a cellophane tape is a great idea. So we didn't have that. Okay, and so then you've got this sandwich in the machine. Okay.
Yes, so you've got the stabilizer underneath, which is just your tearaway.
And it's hooped.
And you've got your peanut butter in the middle is your towel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is somehow secured onto that, right?
Spray with the water-activated adhesive or the pressure-activated adhesive.
And then on top of that is your clear
tapping
wash-away, you know, stabilizer.
Wash-away or heat-away.
Or heat-away.
For your terry cloth.
Yeah, heat-away, you know, the thing that bothers me about heat-away is irons, I never know what kind of iron someone has and how predictable that iron is, okay? So, you know, and thread melts, okay? So Hideaway is not my favorite.
Yeah, I would agree, but I'm bringing that up because...
No, it's there.
It does happen. Okay.
And there's things you don't want to get wet.
Yep. And there's things you don't want to heat up. So I was going to say, probably on your cotton terry cloth towel, Hideaway's okay. All right, is what I wanted to bring up. And honestly, in my experiences with Hideaway, you don't have to touch the iron to it.
Right.
You kind of get it close.
Sometimes you can get above it.
Yeah, it sort of evaporates.
But like I said, I get real leery when I'm telling people to put heat on something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think about... You can melt those polyester threads, and people will do it. They'll have that high, you know, or they don't look at what they've got. You know, they left the iron on a setting, mm-hmm. and they forgot to change it. It just scares me.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you're scared of the iron, don't use heat.
We're going to tell you to press your towel later. So.
Right. And we'll tell you how.
Oh, yes. You get to stitch your towel now.
Yes.
Go for it.
So however your machine works and all that blah, 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 blah. I would suggest polyester thread, especially because a towel gets worn and washed, and oftentimes a towel that we do is a beach towel or swim pool towel, and it's out in the UV light. So we prefer polyester thread on this kind of a towel.
Yeah, and now I have to admit, we haven't bought embroidery thread in a while because we left the shop with like an entire display of Floriani thread.
An infinity's worth.
A lot of embroidery thread. Right. And, however, I do want to kind of call out that brand because the Floriani polyester really served us well, served so many people very well. And I made a towel for my college boyfriend. And then we broke up and, like, I took it back because he didn't want to pack it, you know, and take it back home. And so then it was a dog towel. And it was a black towel with red thread on it. And I bleached it because it was a dog towel. And the black towel got the, you know, pinky bleach spots on it. The Floriani red polyester embroidery thread was still perfection. And so I, you know, I guess I had never actually bleached it, you know. So I did. But I finally did actually bleach that thread. And it's just very color fast and durable. So we do really like that. And they're still around and they've got software and stuff.
They have all kinds of stuff.
They got all sorts of things. They have a stabilizer.
They have good tutorials, too.
Yep. Yep. So, polyester embroidery thread, probably, for that towel. And then you're going to be finished embroidering. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to take your towel, you're just going to rip it out of your machine, right, Mom?
No, you're not.
Oh, okay.
You're not going to rip your stabilizer off right away, either.
So, tell us, we are going to gently remove our hoop from our embroidery machine.
Right.
Right.
And we're going to look and we're going to sort of inspect and make sure it's like we want in case we had to go back and fix
something. We're not going to unhoop it.
No. And I'm not going to remove my top stabilizer until I make sure like all my jump threads are clipped.
Yeah. Let's pretend it's stitched fine. You don't have to put it back in and like redo something. Then leave it hooped, leave those stabilizers on, and trim those jump stitches with duckbill scissors.
Right. And you may not have any jump stitches, but if you do, this is the time to do it. You won't clip your loopy loops.
Oh, my gosh,
right?
Yeah.
It's really, you know, it's hard to trim on the terry cloth. It really is.
Duckbill scissors or those squeezy curved snips.
Yeah. I like a curved snip myself.
I like the duckbills on the back on the tearaway. Yeah. They just slides nice and easy. But that's the back. It's not as 3D as the front.
So the next thing we're going to do is... I would turn it, not unhoop it, I would turn it over and I would see if I had to remove tearaway that was in little nooks and crannies.
Oh, you know what I want to, before that, is the basting stitch.
Oh, yeah.
So if you did get to use a basting stitch, where it starts and stops, there's probably a little, like, knot of thread. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to clip that before you remove the stabilizer, too.
You are right.
Otherwise, it can pull on things.
Yeah.
So anyway,
or it gets
sorry.
Down in there and you really can't get it out.
Well, if you,
you
can't
see it,
get this
little red dot or something.
If you can't see it, don't worry about it. But you know,
So say you did a design and you know it was floral, and it had some little stems and stuff. So there are actually like little triangles of stabilizer you've got to get out on the back. There maybe aren't even
little
as big as a coin, right?
Centers of O's and
A's.
Yeah,
just really. And okay, getting these out is much easier if it's still in the hoop, okay? Because it's stretched. Once you, you know, get it out, it unstretches, sort of relaxes. And like Mallory said, the curved little clips, another thing that I like to remove that piece with, okay, is a flat, the tiny flathead screwdriver that sometimes comes with your machine.
I held up a pair of tweezers. That's not what she's talking
tweezers
about.
Tweezers are good, too. So, I mean, there's all kinds of tools that people like here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What I'm telling you is the little, you know, it's tiny, tiny flathead screwdriver. And I like it because it's flat.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I can get sort of on the edge and like just kind of go up
poke
under
it.
There and
yeah.
pop it off. You know? Now, the other thing you do is you hold your fabric when you remove your stabilizer.
Mm-hmm.
When you're, okay, don't just pull on the stabilizer.
We talked about that a bit in the Tearaway podcast, right? Support it.
There's a lot of things we've talked about before we're saying here. But, you know, you'll, things do deserve repeating.
They do.
Sometimes.
They do.
Yes. But so when you're taking out that little detail of stabilizer, you hold on to where the embroidery threads have been laid down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pull the stabilizer away. If you don't just pull, because you're pulling from under. You know, you're pulling that out from under the stabilizer. All that's happened is that stabilizer's been perforated
right.
with a needle very close, and sometimes it's almost ready to fall off,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it's not. You don't know.
Yeah, so we're going to remove that. And then the front, you've trimmed your jump stitches and you have your water soluble.
Right.
Now, that stuff you can just kind of almost tear away easily with your fingers.
I can't even roll it away.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
If there is a little piece that's not coming away easy, that is where I do like to use tweezers.
Or leave it. If it's really questionable, you're afraid you're going to damage something, leave it. It will go away.
It'll go away. Now, let's talk a little bit. Okay. And then, let's
do an unhoop.
Well, let's unhoop and press, right?
Well, unhoop and take away any other stabilizer that might be.
If we tore away our stabilizer, though, we've unhooped it because it wasn't connected to the hoop. It wasn't hooped. The towel wasn't hooped.
Right.
So if we've torn away our stabilizer,
right.
it's out of the hoop.
It should be.
And then it's nice to press your embroidery afterwards, right, Mom?
Exactly.
So you press it face down into a terry cloth towel.
Into a terry cloth towel. Or a padded diaper is really nice.
Yeah.
Like a pre-folded diaper, if anybody's got those available. So what you're doing is you have actually added dimension with this embroidery. And you don't want to take your dimension away. So you put this towel face down, the embroidery face down, and then you press it. That way you're not obliterating the puffiness of the towel or the puffiness of what, you know, you lined up with the right dimension.
You don't want to flatten. You don't
want
right to
flatten. The right topography
out.
Going on.
You don't want to flatten out what you've done.
And actually, I do that on a lot of embroidery.
Oh, yeah.
Face
I do
down.
It on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would recommend the pressing face down into a padded surface is a recommendation, I think, for all embroidery.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about choosing designs and other stuff with a pile. Okay. If you're choosing
fleece.
Yeah, like fleece and stuff. So if you're choosing a design for a terry cloth towel, don't pick something that's got a bunch of running stitches.
You don't want anything fine.
Yeah, you need a thick, either like a satin stitch.
It's like a broad stroke.
Or you need something that's really filled in,
right.
you know, with a step stitch. So
you don't want something delicate here.
Right. I did a towel for like one of Zelda's friends and it was a letter and then it had like butterflies around it. And the butterflies then had like some flying lines coming out.
You won't see the lines.
I didn't, you know, you couldn't see the lines very well, but like the butterflies were so cute that
right.
I was glad they were included. So anyway, don't waste your time
right.
with some kind of outline monogram.
Right.
It's got to be filled in.
Save those for your tea towels.
Yes.
For your, you know, cotton, very, you know, level woven things.
Right, right. So pick a bold design so it stands out on your terry cloth. And the same thing goes for fleece, like
velvets.
Corduroys, things like that.
Anything that has any, you know,
pile to it.
Pile to it.
Okay, and then I need to to share a story that comes along with a recommendation. So let's pretend you do. You've just fallen in love with this monogram that has all these fine lines, you know, to it or something. What you can do is you can incorporate applique into your monogram.
You make it an applique.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can do this in software. Some machines have the ability to do this. But what you would be doing is you'd be laying down like a piece of woven fabric over the towel, okay, getting yourself a shape, and then the monogram is embroidered on top of that. Okay, so you're all good there. And I had an embroidery client come to me with this little pink, like, bunny suit, like, for a three-year-old. Mm-hmm. And they were like, she just wears it all the time, and we want to put her monogram on it. And I was like, because it gets confused with someone else's bunny suit? What? I don't know. Okay, so it was not even, I don't even know what this fabric was. I guess it was kind of like a knitted fleece,
right.
Like a minky,
uh-huh.
Sort of, but
like
it wasn't.
Like a velour?
Well, no, it had fibers coming up, like a fur, you know, like a knitted faux fur, I guess.
Oh, okay.
So I think I can envision the monogram in my mind. It was JPM, and they picked this font, and it was fairly bold, so I thought it'd be fine, but it had to be kind of small because it was for like a 3 or 4 year old. And I followed all of the instructions outlined in this podcast and embroidered it. Looked great in the hoop. Then I went to unhoop it and the fibers just
hit it.
Was gone. It was completely gone. And I was like, oh, you can't tell that I stitched on this.
You
at
can't
all.
Tell there's an embroidery, like, that there's a monogram.
No,
here.
Like almost I could have been like, can't do it, sorry, and handed it back to them and they wouldn't have noticed. So what I did, I actually think I tried to embroider it again and it swallowed it up again. And then I finally put a rectangle of pink flannel.
Right.
A lighter pink flannel on it. And it was like darker pink monogram. Got the JPM. But like around the rectangle where there was a satin stitch, you like couldn't see it because this fabric,
right.
It was like some kind of stitch swallowing monster that
could,
what
it's
you know.
Called.
It's just like, I couldn't believe how effective it was. It's like,
right.
How can it even hide
can't
the stitches
seam.
So well?
Can't see a seam in that,
right.
Baby.
Now, some fleeces, I did all those show choir fleeces in high school. And at first I was putting a topping on them. And I just had to do so many. I tried one without a topping. And the design and the contrast of the thread, everything was fine. And I didn't do
right.
A topping on it.
But
you know?
I mean, that those stitches were very much filled, and it was very big, very broad. I mean, and that velour, that fleece
wasn't high pile. I definitely
right.
Still have that sweater,
you
and
do.
I could put a picture of it. I still
have
that fleece.
Right. We still have that.
It's lasted forever. So anyway, that
I mean, you know, you could always test something.
Yeah,
now,
test
the
it
thing
out.
Is how do you test a garment that, you know, but if you had, if it's, you know, if you have a piece of the fabric, you can test it.
Yeah. Now, if I was just doing one fleece, so let's pretend I bought one fleece jacket
you
for a friend, and I was making a gift, I would just put some topping on it. However, I did like 40 of these, and I stitched one out without topping, knowing full well I could leave it in the hoop and restitch.
Right.
Okay, so you can always do that. Okay, let's pretend your topping shifted.
Ooh.
Okay, you don't have a basting stitch, your tape moved. Something like that, and your topping shifted, and some of your design stitched without topping underneath it. Just go back and restitch over that spot. Every embroidery machine allows you to rewind somehow.
Back, yes. To go back stitches or go forward stitches or whatever.
That's right.
And it goes back one at a time or 10 at a time or 100, you know, there's different choices.
Can become a bit of a pain in the butt
because,
like, if part of the pink balloon was off of the
right.
The topping, you have to stitch out the whole pink balloon, and then if the black outline was over the pink balloon, you have to restitch the black outline. You know, you'll have to think about this, but it is totally okay to go back and restitch over things. Or if you know, this happened to me, I chose the wrong color one time.
Yeah.
Or I thought it was like one green and it was another.
Right.
And I remember someone being like, oh, just stitch right back over it with the other color. And
right.
I was like, oh, all right. Like,
that's why we said, you know, look at your design before you remove it from off, before you even take it off the machine.
Yeah.
And then look at it again.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes you know this design real well. You've done it more than once. So, you know, you don't have to look as close. If it's the first time you've ever done it or anything, look, you know, the worst thing that happens is, you know, the dog's tail is on the bunny rabbit or something. Right. I mean, it can happen. Stuff shifts, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff shifts. I like that. Shift happens.
Yeah, shift happens.
Oh, well, you know, before, I think the biggest mistake I would make on towels when I was first starting embroidering was that the topping would flip over and get
that happens
on top of the foot,
well,
right?
And a lot of times when I don't know, you talked about topping to use the cellophane to put it down. You know, there are other ways to do it.
Sure.
You can use a pin. You got to make sure, you know, or you can dampen that a little bit and make it sticky, you know, but cellophane tape is just such a good
cellophane
idea.
Tape or basting, you know, I really like the basting.
It doesn't mean that tape's not going to pop off, though, when you turn your back.
Yep.
You know.
When you go make dinner.
Yep.
And with the topping, if you do have a really dense design, sometimes it can get real chewed up and you need to put another layer on. Like, I've seen it.
Yes.
Let's pretend the first color goes down and it goes all over the map.
Especially if there's a lot of understitching or something. It can, like, really, like, just eat it up.
So you can always slide another layer under there. You know, it's just fine to do that. So keep that in mind. All right, I think that's terry cloth and fleece. And fleece blankets, that's a gift that
especially
a lot of people like to do.
Baby blankets you do it. And here's where, you know, another reason, you know, just sticking it down is because a lot of times you'll want it on the corner of the blanket. So, you know, you pick that corner and you line that up and you're not hooping that whole thing.
That's right. That's right. No, it's good to have all your stabilizer hooped and then just lay that shape down, right? Okay. Well, anything else about
Why are you looking at me?
Terry cloth towels?
I don't know.
It's just you're so smart. You know everything.
You know everything. Well, I think the one thing about towels, and I have told this story before, is people love to get them.
Yeah.
And that's how you got invited to most of the birthday parties.
That's right. No one really liked me.
They didn't like
Mallory.
They just wanted the towel their kid was going to get. But, you know, you give a kid a towel with their name on it, you know, a young kid, and that's their turns out to be their beach towel, or even the fact it has their name on it and it's in their bathroom. And then when they go away to college, you know, you give them more towels with their names on them because that basically labels them, and or, you know, and then you put their school name on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
But my children never appreciated this, but all the children I gave it to did. So, you know, towels are just good things.
Yeah, really good
and
gift
towels
stuff.
Are good like jokes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they can be like sort of private articles.
You can write anything you want on a towel as a joke, you know, and I mean – I embroidered one for my friend one time that said, don't, I'm trying to think what it is. It said, don't tell my mother I'm a real estate agent.
She thinks I'm a murderer.
She thinks I play the piano in a strip joint, you know, like, because, you know, so you could do like little funny things like that are very personal.
Yeah. You know, we used to, it's so funny how the world has changed. Okay, so we no longer run a sewing store in the middle of Missouri. And so we can, like, embroider whatever we want and share it on Instagram.
That's
you know, because every...
We used to have employees that would, like, come in, you know, because they would use our machines or whatever. Especially if somebody was, like, in college and was working for us. And she'd say, can I write this on a towel? Would you mind? And I'd go... You're just going to have to stay after.
Yeah, you're just going to do it when the shop's not open.
Yeah,
you know?
We do stuff like that, too. We write it. We put obscene things, you know, on towels, too, or whatever. Mallory's towels, when she went away to school, one of them was labeled Genius.
Oh, yeah.
And one was labeled Fetus. These were the nicknames that her older sisters had given her.
That's what they called me.
So, you know, not everybody understands a towel that says fetus on it.
So my roommates and suite mates, they just thought I was really cool and normal and stuff. So, yeah, that's how that worked.
It said fetus and genius on it. Yeah. Well, so Mallory was like in the gifted program. So every time she did something stupid, her sisters made sure to call her Genius.
Yes.
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 Oh, Genius. That was a good one.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.